the Phoenix Sun, these were the words that opened an obituary that a family had posted. Turn off the sun, drain out the sea, let the moon fall from the sky, because our wife, mother, sister, grandmother, and great-grandmother is gone. Kind of hear some deep despair there, don't you? And for many, that's what death brings. A deep despair. A great loss. A sense of emptiness. And to some extent, I believe that's where Mary and Martha were when we find them in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, their brother Lazarus had died, been in the grave about 4 days. And we pick up with John 11, verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. They were there as we are, to walk with people through the valley. And no doubt to weep with them and to comfort them and to meet some needs in their lives. And suddenly Jesus arrives. And in hearing that he had arrived, Martha goes out to meet him. And when she got out there, she said to him in verse 21, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Do you hear the pain? The grief? Jesus, if you'd only showed up. If you'd been here, and to be honest, many of us have been there. Sometimes we feel like God didn't listen to us or God hadn't showed up. I've talked to numbers of folks who struggle with their faith because God didn't act the way they wanted Him to act. And that's our trouble. Sometimes it's the way we want Him to act. If you'd only been here. But then she still expresses faith because listen to her next words, verse 22. "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of Him." Couldn't imagine what was fixing to happen. But she still acknowledged faith that whatever came, God was there. Jesus could bring a miracle into their life. We all journey through that valley that Mary and Martha were in that day. And it's not just in terms of the death of loved ones, but there are other valleys of grief that we walk through. How do you handle them? And in our scripture this morning, I believe we find some lessons on how to handle grief. Lessons on handling grief in a healthy, constructive way. And here's the first one. Make prayer a priority. Make prayer a priority. Not something you just do in the midst of desperation. Not something you turn to when nothing else can be done. Make it a priority. Notice what Mary and Martha did. When they find that their brother is ill, they prayed. Well, that's what we'd call sending word to Jesus. It's a prayer. Go back to the opening of the chapter. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." The most natural response for them when Lazarus became ill was to get the word to Jesus. That's prayer. Prayer is sending to Jesus, to God, our hurts, our concerns, our pain. Sometimes I hear it said that the least thing I could do is pray. No, it's not the least. It's the most important thing we can do. Prayer is the most important thing we can do in every moment of our lives. One preacher put it this way: when a crisis brings us to our knees, we're in a perfect position to pray. That's often when we turn to Him, isn't it? Another one put it this way: when we're on our knees, we are where God wants us to be. You see, God wants us to turn to Him. Now, I realize that sometimes it seems as if God doesn't hear. We don't know why Jesus chose to wait a couple of days before going to Bethany. He'll share one reason here in a few moments. But sometimes, like Mary and Martha, we wonder, where were you, Jesus? If you'd only been here, Jesus. Because what we're offering doing is we're wanting Jesus to work on our timetable, and we want Him to do it our way. And I've discovered Jesus seldom works on my timetable. And He doesn't always answer it in my way, because my way is not always the best way. I was reminded of that a text I received last Sunday from one sitting in this worship place. Lauren White sent me a text as Jen and I were going up to check on her dad, letting us know that she was praying for us and praying for her father, Gina's dad. And I thanked her for that, and in my response, I gave praise that her dad had gotten good report and was home. And in fact, Craig was in worship last Sunday morning after spending some time. And then a part of the text, and I did tell her that I was going to share this, so I'm not stepping out without her knowing that. I didn't ask, I just said I'm going to share it. Because it's such a powerful statement. Listen to it. God is so good, responding to my statement of a praise, and God is good, and would have been good regardless of the outcome. That's faith. And would have been good. Can you say that today? Regardless of the outcome, God is good. God is faithful. Prayer is touching base with the One who is always good and faithful, even though He doesn't always work on our timetable and do it in our way. Which brings me to the next point, because it takes prayer in a deeper way. Confident prayer depends on a relationship with Jesus. And I suggest to you that statement in the text comes out of that confident prayer of a relationship. Jesus, we know, had a relationship with Mary and Martha, but did you hear how they sent word to Him? The New English Bible says, "Sir, you should know that your friend lies ill." Lazarus wasn't just acquaintance. He wasn't part of the crowd that followed Him. He was a friend that Jesus fellowshipped with. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, then you can talk with Him. He can handle our concerns. He can handle our questions. He can handle our doubts. It's all right to share that with Him. It's a relationship. And a relationship you can talk with God in confidence. I first witnessed that, I guess, in my own personal life, watching my mom and dad during Dad's journey with cancer. And their confident prayer and trusting God to be in the midst of it. And how they knew that God was there. And my uncle, my mom's brother, my Uncle Tom, he commented on numerous occasions how he didn't understand the peace that Mom and Dad had in that journey. Because see, he didn't have that relationship. But in that relationship, there is peace, there's confidence that God's got this. And he didn't have it in the way that we had hoped, but he had that. That's that grace to go to God. You may have heard the story, I'm sure I've shared it before, of the actor who shared the 23rd Psalm. It was part of his sharing of poems in this particular performance. And when he finished quoting the 23rd Psalm, the audience stood up and applauded. Applause. And when they sat down and settled down, a preacher, an old retired preacher, raised his hand, "Could I share the poem, the psalm?" And the actor said, "Well, come on up." And he got up and shared the 23rd Psalm. And there wasn't applause, there was tears. Hardly a dry eye. And the actor looked at him and said, "I don't understand. When I shared the 23rd Psalm, they all stood up and applauded. But when you shared it, it took them to their knees. What's the difference?" Old preacher said, "Well, you know all the eloquent ways of pronouncing the words and making it sound so good. But I know the shepherd. And that's the difference. I know the shepherd." Prayer changes in a very confident, powerful way when we have a relationship. I know the shepherd. Do you know him today? I didn't know personally every one of these that we lit a candle for. For some of them had moved away from here or were in places beyond here and were not back during any of the time I was here. But I can say that of the ones that I knew and had the privilege of talking with, they each knew the shepherd. On numerous occasions, we prayed together. And for many of them, toward the end, I prayed that prayer from Romans 8, that they'll know that the love of God, nothing can separate in them from neither life nor death, principalities and powers. Nothing. And I knew that they not only walked through the valley with the shepherd, they believed in the last statement of that 23rd Psalm. Do you remember it? "I will live in the house of the Lord forever." That's that hope of the relationship. Which brings me to another thought. I could spend a lot of time on each one of these. Emotions are natural. Emotions are natural. But yet in our society, we've been conditioned that we're not supposed to show emotions. We're supposed to be strong. Notice in the scripture again, "If only you had been here, Lord," said Martha, "my brother would never have died." She had this relationship and she could share honestly with Jesus out of her emotions and her struggles. Too often I think that we try to be the rock. Best I understand Scripture, there's only one solid rock, and His name is Jesus. And I'm not expected to take His place, but I can stand on Him who is the rock, and I don't have to be the rock. And it's all right to weep in the midst of that. Even us men can weep. Jesus did. Later in the Scripture, it says, Jesus began to weep. Now, I know that's the shortest verse in the Bible. In fact, in some translation, it's simply Jesus wept. And I have learned that there are children who, when they're learning how to quote Scripture and are told to remember a Scripture, that's often the one they turn to because that's the shortest and easiest to remember. Are you guilty? Jesus wept. I confess. But that's a powerful word. Jesus. Now, I don't know why he wept. Maybe he was weeping for Mary and Martha and what they were going through. Maybe he was weeping for Lazarus and the loss that he experienced. Or some say maybe he was weeping because of what he was fixing to do to Lazarus. And you say, what did he do? He's going to bring him back. Bring him back from the new kingdom. Man, what a transition to come back here. But I just got a feeling he was also weeping with Mary and Martha because they were grieving. And he was modeling for us what the Scriptures would later teach us, to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to be in life together and share emotions and not be afraid to share those emotions. And I saw some with some tears at our first service this morning who are still walking through the valley, and that's all right. That's for us to come alongside. Which brings me to the next point. God can use crisis for His glory. God can use crisis for His glory. Notice that Jesus, after receiving word, says to those that are with Him, "This illness will not end in death. It has come for the glory of God to bring glory to the Son of God." That is bringing glory to Him. And then later there, "And Bethany, did I not tell you that if you have faith, you will see the glory of God?" You see, quite often it's in our struggles, in our pains, that God reveals His glory and uses us. I think about my dad in his last weeks there at Veterans Hospital, Memphis, and the struggle and the pain that he was in. God brought glory. Because we know at least three people came to faith in Jesus Christ because of his witness. God was using his struggle to minister to others, to bring glory. And you remember that uncle that I said didn't have peace? When he came into the house, when we got home after Dad's funeral, he said, "I wish I could face death as Cooper did." God was beginning to get his attention. See, that's what God does. The Scripture says in Romans, we know that in all things God works for good with those who love Him, those who have called according to His purpose, that God can take all the struggles of our lives and bring something good, to bring glory. And that's what's about to happen here. Oh, I could spend time on each one of these, but I need to move on. For here's that next statement I learned. God can change lives through a crisis. Not only does God bring glory through crisis, He often changes our lives through a crisis. Don't you know that Lazarus was changed? I mean, can you imagine sitting at the dinner table listening to his stories of how he went through death and now he's back to tell about it and tell about what he experienced? I can just imagine the stories going on. He was a changed man. And then what about Mary and Martha? Don't you know that their relationship with their brother changed? Had a new appreciation? But that's not all. Listen to what the Scripture says in verse 45. "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in Him." You see, sometimes it's through the difficult times that God brings faith, belief. I was talking to a family just this week who'd had a death. And while their family are people of faith, the one who's died's family on the other side were not people of faith. And there were some struggles there. But she said one of her nieces, the sister who died's daughter, came and said, "I see what prayer is doing for you and did for Mom. And I'm interested in learning about it." See, even in the valley, God was bringing some glory and using it to open doors and change lives. I like the way Andre Crouch captured it in his song. "If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do." That's that glory and a witness. But that's not all we learn. We learn also that Jesus is Lord over the grave. That even the grave cannot hold Him. He said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in Me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die. And then he goes to where the tomb is and says, roll the stone away. And he calls Lazarus and brings him forth to prove that he's the resurrection. And then the greatest proof that he's the resurrection took place when the stone was rolled away from his grave. And he walked forth. And he appeared to those ladies. Then he appeared to the disciples as a whole. Do not be doubting, but have faith. We can know him. He is Lord over the grave. Now, I had a track put under the doormat of our house several years ago before we moved here. It was left by the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the tract said, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And those who die will live. And that stopped right there. And it said, those of your loved ones who have died are dead. And Jesus said, they'll live again if you believe in him. Well, what they've done is proof texts. Because they didn't finish the scripture. Notice it. Highlight it there for you. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The first statement is talking about our bodies dying. The second statement is about our spirits. They never die. They never die. The body is placed in the grave. But our spirits go to God. As Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, not sometime in the future. That's our hope. They've actually gathered with the saints around the throne. Which brings me to the last point. Faith in Christ is essential. I can talk about this, but it comes down to faith. After sharing that he's the resurrection and the life, Jesus says, do you believe this? Do you believe it? And Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe. You're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. You see, it really does come down to a personal commitment. Do I believe him? Do I trust him? Do I give my life to him? Now, I don't know what led to Lazarus' death. We're not told. It does seem like it was quite unexpectedly and came up quite quickly. Sometimes death does that, doesn't it? As I think about these that we remember today, some of them had a lingering time. Some of them it went pretty quick for. One of the candles was lit for one who this August, early in the month, was in worship. The next Sunday, I learned that she was in the hospital. And 2 days later, she had died. And many of us were saying, but we just saw her. That's the way life goes. We never know. James says it's like a vapor that here today and vanishes. Therefore, the key is to have faith. I don't know what led to Lazarus' death. But Mary says to Jesus' statement, do you believe this? And she says, I believe. I believe you're the Messiah. Do you believe it today? Have you trusted your life to him? There's a prayer at the bottom of your message notes that can help you in that journey if you need to. But I want us to close with this thought. In Jesus gathering with his disciples for Holy Communion, as we call it. It was the Passover for them. That Jesus broke the bread and gave the cup. And the gospel writers tell us that one of the words that he said was, I will not partake of the fruit of the vine again in this life with you, but in the new kingdom. Think about that. It's a promise. That we do this in remembrance of what He did and what He's done for us. But they get to take it with Him. We take in anticipation. They take in celebration as part of the saints. So would you join me as we pray? Father God, we thank You for Your amazing love. Your love that came to us in Jesus. Your love that went to the cross for our salvation. Your love that brought Jesus back to life. We remember how on the night that He would be betrayed, He would take the bread of the Passover. He broke it, gave thanks to You, and then gave it to the disciples saying, "This is My body, broken for You. Take, eat in remembrance of Me." And then He took the cup of redemption, and after blessing it and giving thanks to You, He said as He gave it to them, "This is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of Me." Oh, Holy God, we pray that You'll take these now, these offerings of bread and wine, and make them be for each of us the body and blood of Christ. And as we experience His grace afresh, as we partake of this holy sacrament, give us renewed faith to walk with You. For those of us that are walking through valleys, give us confidence that You shepherd us. And that even in those times when we're wondering where You are, You're still there. You're still good. Come now. Pour out Your Spirit upon us as we break bread together. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.